Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today, we're going to talk about activating alternate timelines. This is very similar to our discussion that we've had before about parallel realities, but there are active timelines that you can bring about both by yourself, but particularly with groups, and there is a specific way that we can do this. In fact, what's happening when we talk about the new earth is we are collectively activating an alternate timeline. So we talk about this all the time, the new earth concept, and really it requires us to do it. And that is why I wanted to do an episode on just activating alternate timelines. We will explore some of the details of activation and the process of activating a timeline. It involves infusing the timeline with energy, power, focus, and intention. This is more than just a quick mental activity. It involves the ability to direct energy outward from the center of being. If you get a chance, check out my aura training, Alternate Universe Reality Activation, Alternate Universe Reality Actualization. There's a process that we can go about in activating an alternate timeline, and when done properly, can be very powerful in creating your future reality. There are no idle thoughts. Everything you think about and fantasize or visualize has some degree of reality. And this means that there's some energy on a possible timeline that reflects whatever you're thinking about. I know that can be a horrifying idea. Don't be horrified at this. Most of what you imagine does not have enough energy and collaboration to change the dominant timeline. There was a popular exercise many years ago when people had negative thoughts and caught themselves indulging in such. They would immediately say, cancel, cancel. Or there's the golden key technique. When you have a negative thought, you just think of God. This effectively negates many negative thoughts. Although in order to be completely effective at blocking negative thoughts, you must go deep into the subconscious mind. There is another common saying, be careful of what you wish for. It might just happen. This applies equally to positive and negative outcomes. If there is something undesirable in your life, and it is primarily due to your own creation, then it means you probably have negative thoughts buried in your subconscious mind that are creating the undesirable results. However, most thoughts that are producing results in your life have a lot of energy and intention on them, or they have been repeated hundreds of times over many years. The secret to reality creation is thoughts in coordination with feelings and energy. The heart-mind coordination we talked about a long time ago in coordinating the heart and mind involves this process. It's not just what you think about that creates reality. It's the combination of what you think about in combination with the feeling and the energy and the intention. For example, let's overly simplify this and say that you have one possible timeline of wealth and you have another one of poverty. Your dominant timeline will be the composite average of your thoughts about wealth and poverty. If you believe you must work hard and that by working hard you will be wealthy, that is the dominant thought in your subconscious mind. Then it is likely that you will have wealth and find yourself working incredibly hard to earn and maintain it. So how does one actually activate a timeline? We've certainly talked about this on many different levels, but we're talking about a full and complete timeline that affects everyone else, not just yourself. What is the energetic process involved? It is difficult to put into words, but based on what we've talked about so far in the podcast, let's attempt to do that. As you probably know, each human being is an energy center or a matrix of consciousness embodying at least six levels, possibly more. If we look at the different systems we've discussed, it could be 6 to 12 different levels. Prana, or life force energy, emanates from the center of being, roughly equivalent to the heart and solar plexus of the human body. Every human being is a broadcast center or a lighthouse. Although the quality of the light may vary tremendously, and oftentimes you are existing within the lighthouse of others. Imagine that in addition to the obvious electromagnetic radiation of the human aura, the astral, etheric, and causal energy fields of the subtle bodies, the energetic matrix of the human soul is also being broadcast through time as well as space. While the intensity of the EM field around the body seems to diminish with distance, it is true that your aura is affecting beings in a distant galaxy, though probably not enough to notice at your current level of consciousness. So as you radiate your energy field outward from the center of your being, at the beginning of this process, it's a very small amount. Then you develop your aura, your energy centers, and a variety of other techniques, including the Merkaba, and this energy center radiates farther outward. This radiation also goes out through time. You are affecting not only the dominant timeline of this world with your thoughts and energy, but also the dominant timelines of each individual living in this world. In addition, you are affecting the possible and probable realities, the parallel time frames of each human being. You are not existing alone in this universe by yourself and everybody is just a game piece. You are affecting the world with your thoughts. It's a tough concept. Once you embrace the idea that you can be of service to others, then you start to see how you actually affect others with your thought. We know from Neville Goddard, you can imagine for others, but really in reality, we're actually affecting the future timelines of everyone by our every thought and feeling. Let's take an obvious example. A man approaches you on the street. You sense the presence of this being and start wondering whether or not he's going to talk to you or ask you for something. You start to imagine several possible realities. He'll simply say, hello, or he'll ask for directions, or beg for money, etc. Perhaps he will seem to ignore you, but you're already part of his dominant timeline because he perceives you coming into his reality. The quality and content of your consciousness may play a pivotal role in what actually happens when you meet. If you have received a lot of programming and conditioning that says be friendly and greet the stranger, it's likely that you will create a probable reality of having a pleasant conversation as the man passes you, especially if he is similarly programmed. It is possible to fairly accurately predict some of the future timelines in a given situation. What is not so obvious, however, is how much energy is being infused into a given timeline. A highly evolved soul with a lot of energy might greatly influence reality to achieve a particular outcome, while several relatively low vibrational souls may seem to have a lot of difficulty influencing the situation and really only reacting to it. There is no exact mathematical formula for how influential certain people are, but there are generally agreed upon perceptions. Some people can sell sand in the desert, remarked one person. They are so forceful and persuasive as to convince a lot of people to buy their products. On a human level, feeling the energies of the heart and solar plexus, having a strong desire to manifest a particular outcome, learning various social and marketing skills are the keys to creating powerful outer results. But really, it is the state of one's consciousness that determines a specific outcome. Clairvoyantly, it is possible to see the patterns of energy as they emanate from a highly influential person. As these patterns intermingle with the energy patterns of other souls, they either enhance or cancel out many of the vibrations of each soul receiving the energy. If you come together with a group of like-minded, high-energy people, like the Reality Revolution, like we do every time we meditate together on Saturdays. You are capable of creating a powerful, probable reality, a strong potential timeline that will then interact within the tapestry of time-space as a highly activated strand in the fabric. This is the purpose of the so-called mastermind groups. We see the mastermind groups that are discussed in Think and Grow Rich, and oftentimes they're very powerful for businesses or achieving certain goals, because together they can light up a certain alternate timeline. That is what the social memory complex has ultimately done, as discussed in the Law of One literature, that the future of the planet has a social memory complex, a group so powerful that it becomes the controlling factor on the planet. And that's because it's together activating an alternate timeline. While some of this seems obvious, there are many factors that are not so obvious, such as the influence of beings in the astral, etheric, and causal planes, spirit guides, angels, archangels, and nature spirits. In addition, you have the karmic agreements and contracts with various souls involved in the creation of a timeline. For example, some souls came to Earth to learn how to create financial wealth, while others want to learn about poverty. These preconceived energy patterns are constantly radiating out into the world for as long as the karmic agreement or contract is in place. Many souls are heavily influenced by childhood trauma or negative programming they received while growing up. If you were the recipient of a lot of belief systems about being a victim, then you will likely create a lot of victim experiences in your dominant timeline. Someone else may be living essentially a parallel life, going through almost the exact same roles and rituals, and yet they seem to have no experiences of being a victim because their programming is different. Identical twins may be alike in almost every respect externally, but most of the time their life experiences are vastly different. When dealing with karma, it is important to remain in a state of love and compassion and refrain from judgment. The person constantly creating disasters is not necessarily a bad person who is being punished for his sins. While you might notice a negative pattern in someone and see that bringing this pattern to his attention might help him overcome a problem, this does not mean you should judge that person or decide that you know what is right for them. Part of the purpose of this episode is to broaden your horizons regarding how and why people create what they do in their lives. I encourage you to have appreciation for the powerful creative urges that exist in every human being. Learn to resist the temptation to teach or heal everyone you meet. This has been very hard for me because I want to be of service. While there could be many souls for whom it is appropriate to offer assistance, there will always be those that you should leave pretty much alone. On the other hand, do not fall into the mistake of thinking that the answer to everything is remaining detached. You can seek to know why things are the way they are, but do not make the mistake of oversimplifying this with blanket statements such as, it's their karma, they created it, it's their problem. You might instead ask yourself, do I have a role to play in this drama? Is there anything I can do to be of service in this situation? What is my highest option or optimum timeline regarding this situation? A question I'm asking myself all the time. I really appreciate that I've started to ask this question. What is my highest option or optimal timeline regarding this situation? Then I start to think a little bit farther into the future about what I'm about to do. I don't recommend becoming obsessed over anything. Sometimes the energy of obsession is the same as importance, and it creates excess potential. Sometimes it's useful in creating a reality that might otherwise seem difficult or impossible, though. If Edison were not obsessed with creating a working light bulb, would it have been invented, or would he have given up prematurely? There is a fine line between putting intense energy, focus, and intention into something in order to change the possible timeline with a lot of energy and becoming obsessed or impatient with trying to create something or adding excess importance to it. It's the way you think about it. In actually doing the thing, you're not creating importance, but it's the way you think about it. A soul that is always trying really hard to create something is usually being driven by a desire to overcome a deep belief in lack and limitation. That is what I've struggled with. And I work really hard and I look back and I say, you know, that's because I have this deep belief that I'm supposed to always live in lack. It is still hard for me to overcome this belief. Trying too hard to create anything implies that you have a lot of doubt and fear below the surface, and that you are trying to convince yourself that you can actually create what you want. This energy of trying to force the universe to do your bidding may yield some or limited results, but the outcome will not be satisfying. The opposite extreme is over-reliance on the natural unfoldment process of the universe. Some people that read the Reality Transurfing book talk about the alternatives flow, and they get the idea that they just let go and it's super easy. And I think that's an extreme too. This is the belief that God will just drop something in your lap and there's really nothing you need to do to bring it about. While at times this might be the solution to an existing problem, you're failing to recognize that you are a co-creator with God and that God is creating through you. The best policy is to learn the mechanics of the creative process. Utilize visualization, affirmation, and the harnessing of intense feelings. State your intention, feel your intention, and then trust the process of divine manifestation. It is a bit like growing a garden. You must understand how to purchase the right seeds of the highest quality, know how much to water them before your garden will be successful. However, you do not dig up the seed every day to see if it has been germinated. You trust that planting at the right depth, in the right kind of soil, and with the right amount of watering will yield a wonderful plant. You learn the process and then you trust the process. The biggest problem is that a lot of people try to plant the seeds for a future timeline and they just don't give the water to the seed that is needed or give it the sunlight that is needed. It's been said that the fourth dimension, or generally considered the dimension of time, is a practice pad for creator gods. However, creativity as defined by the world depends on linear time, as in setting goals, making commitments, being persistent in achieving those goals and commitments. You are taught that the mind is the main instrument of creation and that simply changing your thoughts allows you to change your outer circumstances. While this is somewhat true, it is not the whole picture, and that's the purpose of this episode. The power of what we call God acting through human souls is activating with aligning one's energy body with one's mental goals, or activated in aligning the heart and mind. In other words, creating from the center of one's being and not just the mind is the key. In most healing modalities, the center of being is considered to be the heart chakra. However, I'm suggesting that the solar plexus combined with the heart is the way to embody both power and creativity. You've heard me say before that what you focus on, you become. This is, in a way, the supreme law of third density and all densities, the practice pad of creation. You're a god in training. So you must learn how to direct your energy and attention to create what you truly desire. You must not only visualize and imagine your desired reality, but you must infuse the probable timelines of your creation with the power and energy of your heart and solar plexus, and to some extent, the other chakras as well. There are several reasons why most human souls do not experience a sense of being powerful creators. In other words, you might be wishing and hoping for things to change, but they remain stubbornly the same year after year. What are the blocks then to your creativity? This subject has been explored in many previous episodes, but let's update the list of blocks and put emphasis in different places this time. The first, and what should be the most obvious, block is not knowing what it is you truly want to create. A lot of people love the idea of creating their reality, but a lot of people do not know what they want to create. Essentially, that is the first step to the aura training, is going through a long-term process of analyzing the potentials and deciding what it is you want to create. The vast majority of people that I talk to want to get clear on their life's purpose and mission. And so if you're not excited about what you're creating, it is likely that you will not put much energy and intention into creating it. Have you recently tried to create something in your life and you really didn't care about it that much? Really deep down. For example, suppose you work at a job you don't like and you rationalize that you need the money. There's nothing else you can do that pays as well. I know that you've thought that before, because I've thought that before. I've had jobs where I've said that very thing. Of course, this is a limiting belief, but it also becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you're simply going through the motions of life instead of living passionately from your heart. Your power and energy are toned way down, and you're compromising your life's purpose. There's an inner conflict between the part of you that wants to follow your true path and the part that's afraid of leaving the comfortable, secure job. Of course, closely related to not following or knowing your purpose and mission are the core negative belief systems that were programmed into you from an early age and from past lifetimes. To review, these include, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy. Something's wrong with me, or I don't deserve this. Perhaps the biggest core negative belief regarding the ability to create is that I am powerless. This comes directly from the belief in separation from God. If you believe God is out there and not a part of you, just watching you, then you believe you have no power. So therefore, your highest priority should be to release this false belief of separation. Since the subconscious mind takes things literally, you need only convince it that you are one with God and live your life as if this were true. Since it really is true, and I've established that fact with multiple different podcasts in multiple different situations, established by Dr. Joseph Murphy, by Neville Goddard, by the Law of One. This is one time when the Hollywood advice, fake it until you make it, actually is good to follow. Fake it. Fake it that you are not separate from God. It won't take long until you realize it. Of course, as you reprogram your conscious and subconscious mind, using reprogramming techniques, everything that is in opposition to the knowledge of your oneness with God will rise to the surface of your mind to be released. You might discover that you're angry with God, that you have an investment in failing. I have met people that invested in failing. There are other belief systems that can get in the way of realizing you are a powerful creator. One such belief is that you might lose the love of those closest to you if you become too powerful. I had that belief. I believed that I needed to minimize my power because I would lose the love of those around me, that they wouldn't look at me the same, that would judge me differently. Maybe you received love and nurture when you failed. Somebody sees that you failed and they gave you love, so you wanted to fail again, so they gave you love again. Perhaps sometime you were helped by your parents and you equated this with love after you failed at a school project or something, and then you said, oh, if I fail and I can get some more love. And there's lots of young people, when they first leave home, they encountered financial difficulties above and beyond what could be expected in the early years of building a life. And although it might not make sense intellectually, receiving a check from parents will likely make you feel like you're being loved by them. So you might be struggling and you might say, hey, I need to struggle so I can get love from my parents. One of the worst examples is when you get sick and you notice that your partner loves you, or your family member will show love to you. And so then it becomes a wonderful way to get love from someone by getting sick. And then you subconsciously get sick just to get the love. Closely related to the above is the sense of responsibility that comes with worldly success. Even if you're not obsessed with making money, you probably have a definition of success and the responsibility that comes with it. As you rise in popularity and effectiveness in your profession, others may come to expect a certain level of performance from you. You have an image to uphold. Now, instead of infusing your desired timeline with positive energy and enthusiasm, you're sidetracked into worrying about the approval of others, or are concerned with losing your status or level of success. Maybe you spend a lot of time contemplating your investments and strategies for making your money grow instead of focusing on your creativity. I definitely see it with my channel. At first, it was just of giving service, and then, hey, a certain video doesn't get as many views, and I'm more worried about that. And I have to step back and say, it doesn't matter. It's not about the views. It's not about anything like that. Running a successful business usually takes a lot of time and energy. And even if you're an effective delegator, you have responsible employees doing much of the work. When you're meditating on what you want to create, fears of becoming too successful and not having enough time for yourself and your loved ones might get in the way of your creative abilities. For a long time, when I struggled with alcohol, I had a very, very dangerous belief that if I became too successful, that I would just drink too much and I would kill myself, because I knew that I would just drink too much. So I would purposely subjugate and limit my own success in order to avoid partying too much. So to elaborate, the reasons creator gods on earth or human souls are not more effective at activating possible and probable timelines are that, one, fear of one's own power and the responsibility of that comes with it. This is understandable. Fear because we observe the way certain souls on earth, specifically those who perceive themselves as powerful and in control of the planet, have misused their power to control and manipulate others, often with complete disregard for the consequences of their actions. This is false power. A being who has truly realized his power has no need to oppress or enslave others, unless they are service to self, or hire mighty armies to defend a set of beliefs, or attempt to control society through a banking system that exalts a few at the expense of the many. 2. Long-held belief systems that say you are a helpless, powerless human being. Some of the core beliefs that have been explored in earlier episodes are discussed here. And all these beliefs stem from the perception that we are separate from God. And this is a false perception that arises due to identification with the material form and material world. The belief in powerlessness takes many forms and is deeply ingrained within the subconscious mind of nearly every human being. It takes continuous and persistent re-education and programming, sleep meditations, affirmations to overcome this belief. If there's some part of you that thinks you don't have the power, then I want you to address that. 3, constant distractions from family, friends, and society. When we're busy working on ourselves, it seems everyone wants to distract us. Suddenly there are unexpected crises, relatives that just happen to be in town, accidents and illnesses. Some of these represent resistance on the part of the soul to move out of comfortable, familiar mental territory, while others are simply part of the drama of life. We've spent quite a bit of time discussing resistance in many forms it manifests. Learn to recognize these many forms before they take hold of your entire being. And learn to say no to those who hold monopoly over your time. Set a strong intention and stick to your promises and priorities. Handle your fears of success. 4, guilt about being more successful than your parents and/or siblings. Some souls have a family dynamic involving parental jealousy or envy. Although parents often say they want their children to succeed and really do desire this on many levels, oftentimes, immature reactions arise if the child is successful. This can come up due to the fear that the successful child will be so busy enjoying his success that he won't spend any time anymore with dear old mom, or something like that. My wife recently had an experience where She prayed for her daughter to get a job, and she got one, and then she got sad because she wouldn't be able to visit, right? The flip side of parental jealousy is guilt on the part of the successful child. Portions of one's income to struggling family members are downplaying the success during family reunions. "I hear you're now a CEO of a large company," says dad. "Oh, it's really nothing, just a label," replies the son. While this type of success does not much do with activating timelines, it illustrates one of the dynamics that keep us locked into old ideas of powerlessness. And five, inability to concentrate, contemplate, and meditate. There can be many reasons for this, including a lack of adequate sleep, bad diet, distractions, poor physical habits, bad posture. You cannot force yourself to meditate. Trying to quiet the mind is nearly impossible. Start by being aware of your inattention and restlessness. Don't fight it, but stay on top of it. Observe how the distractions begin. Notice how you wander away from the moment and follow a distracting thought or feeling. Although we are often taught to concentrate as students in primary and secondary school, the methods used are often based on strict discipline, attempting to force the mind into obedience. Discipline is seen as a necessary evil, something to be dreaded and avoided if possible. As we learn to remove the barriers to irradiating powerful energy from the center of being, we finally learn to tap into the unlimited resources of the God within. So I know the episode was on activating alternate timelines, but I started with all that. So how do we activate our possible and probable timelines? Well, first of all, we must clearly articulate our intention through a purpose or mission statement. What do we intend to create? What is our purpose and mission? Write it down. Second, we must know that we have the capabilities of creating what we truly desire. We need to reprogram all the core negative beliefs in the subconscious mind. We need to remind ourselves often that we are powerful, creative, intelligent, spiritual beings. It's one of the things that if you listen to the podcast enough, it seems repetitive, but it's repetitive for a purpose because I want you to know that you're powerful. Third, we must eliminate the distractions, setting aside a space for meditation, blocking out a period of linear time for working on the vision, and refusing to be drawn into the dramas of others around us are a few ways to do this. Next, we must bring our energy and attention to the heart and solar plexus. We still use the mind as part of the equation, but it is not the dominant factor. We must feel and know that we are creating what we truly desire. We radiate this powerful energy from the heart and solar plexus out into the ethers. This energy then infuses itself into the timelines we want to bring into dominance. Basically, we are jumping from our current dominant timeline into a probable timeline of our choosing. And as we activate this probable timeline, our energy goes into making it happen. Focusing on the center of our energy body causes us to bypass the doubt and fear mechanisms of the ego. It's easy to talk about what we intend to do, but more difficult to actually do it. By centering the heart and solar plexus, it is much easier to spring into action. Of course, action alone is not enough. It must be a centered response, not just busy work. Idealized doing. Quality is more important than quantity. It does no good to suspend 10 hours per day working on your vision if your work habits are bad or you're not following the advice of your higher self. Ask your higher self for help. Imagine a golden, radiant, loving light coming directly from the heart of God into the crown chakra, and ask your higher self to assist in the creation of your vision. Eventually, you will realize that you are your higher self, and that is the key. There is no separation whatsoever between you and your true being in the higher realms. Check out my meditation on connecting to the higher self. Through you, your higher self will activate the probable timeline and bring it into the dominant timeline. You are now demonstrating your ability as a conscious creator, infusing the self with prana, or life force energy, and then directing this energy outward into the world is another way of describing the activation of parallel timelines. As a side note, check out my episode on creating the energy ball, and you can use this in the same method. create an energy ball, and send it towards the timeline that you want. Raising your vibratory level or elevating your consciousness or increasing your awareness will cause you to be able to retain a higher degree of creative energy. In essence, you are able to focus and direct more energy into a project. Finally, you can ask your higher self to put you into the optimum timeline for your soul growth, happiness, and well-being. There are an infinite number of possible timelines, but only one that maximizes all the qualities and virtues you desire to manifest. You can ask that every decision you make be the best possible one as you move on to the optimum timeline. So I started in meditation imagining different timelines, and I started to see one timeline that lit up that was better than all the others. I had the most quality of life, the most wonderful experience, the best love, the greatest success, the best health, and I started to really see this thing light up. And a lot of the aspects of it, I had no clue. So I wasn't necessarily creating, I was tuning in to this optimum timeline. It wasn't me jumping into it, because the jumps and a lot of that stuff is me focusing on a particular timeline. So I found looking for the optimum timeline to be a very powerful technique. Let me give you a 10-step summary on how to increase your vibration and become more powerful in activating your timelines. 1, raise your level of vibration. The higher the level, the more powerful the manifestation of creating abilities. 2, replace negative thoughts with positive creative thoughts in the subconscious mind. Check out my episode on the Golden Key. That is an excellent technique. Whenever you have a negative thought, just try to replace it with God. 3, be grounded and present in the physical body, in the now. 4, consciously direct energy outward from the heart and solar plexus. So in meditation and when you're walking around, and if you feel it or just generally, see the energy coming out of your solar plexus and your heart. You can imagine it going to the timeline that you want. 5, visualize and affirm your intended results. 6, establish a high level of awareness of your connection with your higher self, your spirit guides, and the God presence. In this way, they will guide you and raise your vibration. You will be more effective at activating the timeline and finding the optimum timeline. I believe the higher self protects you from negative timelines in many cases. So there is almost a negotiation that's going on between your higher self and you as you activate a timeline. 7, become aware of and take advantage of the degree of positive and negative programming and conditioning from earlier in your life. For example, you having highly creative parents who encourage you to investigate and explore. Or if you had parents that thought that money was evil, that is negative programming. So look at what was positive and negative and either change the programming or enhance it. 8, be persistent and consistent in carrying out intentions, plans, goals, and objectives. 9, examine and utilize your social abilities and social status and business and marketing skills. And 10, surround yourself with successful people who are following through with their projects and programs. Make friends with them, talk to them. I have found this to be so powerful. You become like the people that you are with, the people that you talk to, people you hang out with, even if you're not in their presence. If you're regularly interacting with people, it's like it rubs off. Now, so far we've talked about the state of consciousness necessary to activate possible and probable timelines. Now let us talk about the collective energies and doing this together and their abilities to influence the various timelines. What we're doing when we're activating the New Earth timeline, which is much more than activating an individual timeline related to your own self, is that we're creating an entirely new, entire planet with new rules and everything. So we must become masterminds to the new Earth. The mastermind process is a technique employed by small groups, including boards of directors of corporations, trustees, and council members of various organizations, church, and meditation groups. The mastermind process is designed to amplify and magnify the creative energies of individual and group projects. The personal mastermind group receives input from each individual member regarding a personal goal, For example, Ben wants to start a healing practice while Sarah wants to have a successful home delivery business. They have 8 people in the mastermind group, and each person expresses their personal desires, goals, and visions with the entire group. Each member then affirms and visualizes and prays for the individual members. All 8 people, for instance, will contemplate Ben's desire for successful healing practice, will visualize him being successful, and will say affirmations stating that Ben's success is assured. Then the focus will shift to Sarah, and so on. There's some people in the Reality Revolution Facebook group that have started groups of 8 that have had some great success. Groups of 8 is something that Lynn McTaggart talks about. It's a really good number, but you can do more than 8. But that's a really good starting point. And typically, a mastermind group meets once a week to share their success and challenges. And every day between meetings, the members go into meditation and visualize and affirm for each other. So if we got to a point where we had thousands, if not millions, of people affirming for each other, we would change the world. And there's certainly a point where it's going to be difficult to individually imagine for a lot of people, but we can try to do it on a large scale. Having several people all visualizing and affirming for you greatly increases the energy being infused into your probable timeline. It's not simple mathematics to determine how much energy is being directed toward a specific outcome. There are many factors that go into determining how powerful a creative urge is going to be when it comes to manifestation. And it's safe to say, however, that if you mastermind a group and it's highly focused and committed to helping each member, then having 8 people all affirming for you will increase the energy being infused into your project by at least 8 times, and probably much more. Of course, it is important to weed out any participants who secretly want you to fail, or that have a great deal of victim consciousness, or are defeatist. When you're forming a mastermind group, be careful who you invite. Do not share your intentions with souls who are not supportive, or who play devil's advocate. They may mean well, but their presence is poisonous to your creative venture. Collective timelines that have hundreds, thousands, or even millions of members are, of course, the most powerful in their ability to move probable timelines into the dominant timelines. And that's really what I wanted to talk about, is creating a dominant timeline. Praying for world peace, for example, is not just a silly metaphysical exercise. If 1 million people around the world are visualizing and expecting world peace, it makes a tremendous difference, and we have shown that in studies, especially if the chances of world war are around 50%, as they were and many times in the past. It's likely that such groups meditating for world peace are precisely the reason that world war has not happened. While it is not a good idea to attempt to force your will onto other people, your presence alone may be enough to shift the balance of power from evil to good. Being an example of a better way of living, infinitely more desirable than trying to force someone to adhere to your standards, radiating powerful energy from your heart and solar plexus and from your mind out into the world will do more to bring about world peace than joining humanitarian organizations, although that will also help. Using this example, you must, of course, clear any negative thoughts and feelings out of your being in order to avoid polluting your intentions. Praying for world peace while harboring great anger toward tyrants and dictators will greatly reduce your effectiveness. I struggled with this. Certain leaders in certain political parties created and triggered great anger within me, and it reduced my energy. Mixed energies being sent into probable timelines can produce unpredictable results. In some cases, such thoughts might simply slow down the process of manifestation. And other times they can reverse the intentions and create a negative result. Remember, if you want to know what is in the totality of your consciousness, look at the totality of your life. Your life will reflect what is in your consciousness. While this is true, it is not the whole story. The world you see is a combination of your own state of consciousness blended together with the collective consciousness of humanity. If you're a clairvoyant, you might be able to see the tapestry of time and space and observe how energies emanating from human souls are lighting up or diminishing various possible and probable timelines. This is how spirit guides in the higher realms are able to foresee probable futures for humanity. Remember, there is no set future. There's only probabilities. But many times these guides can literally see, feel, and know how much positive energy is being infused into a particular reality and how much negative energy is opposing it. By evaluating the state of humanity's consciousness, they can make reasonable, accurate predictions regarding the future of the world, and being able to communicate with your guides can be very helpful in this regard. Your level of vibration will determine your power to activate. The degree of power you're able to radiate out into the universe is a function of your overall level of vibration. This is not a linear scale. For example, a person vibrating at 5 does not have 25% more creative energy than a person vibrating at 4. And a person vibrating at 6 does not have 50% more creative energy than someone vibrating at 4. The scale is exponential, accelerated, and in some cases logarithmic, greatly accelerated. An example of an exponential scale would be to say that a person vibrating at 4 has 1 unit of creative power, while a person vibrating at 5 may have 10 units of creative power. A person vibrating at 6 has 100 units. A logarithmic scale would be even more pronounced in its effect. Perhaps a person at 4 would have 1 unit, while a person at 5 has 32, a person at 6 has 1,440. It's been estimated that if souls vibrating at 3.62, the average consciousness of humans on Earth at this time, have 1 unit of creative power, then souls vibrating at 6 have about 100,000 times as much creative power. Imagine what 100 souls with an average vibration of 6 would do to activate collective timelines. That's why the reality revolution is so powerful, because we have so many people within this group that are at 6 or higher vibrating out collective timelines. I know it because I've met you. They'd have 10 million times as much power as the average human being. And imagine 100 souls all at the same time. The actual numbers are very difficult to derive, especially since the vibration of souls varies from day to day, even from hour to hour. What you as an individual soul can do is to keep raising your vibration, purifying your mind and emotions, releasing your core negative beliefs, and focusing your energy from the center of your being out into the world. Know and intend what you desire, and know that it is already coming to pass. Align the various levels of your being with your higher self. Visualize the probable timeline you're working on becoming merged with the dominant timeline. Join or start a mastermind group. Imagine the timeline you're working with is spread out before you like a highway. See your creative power pouring forth from the center of your being and lighting up the highway. The path is glowing brighter and brighter with every breath you take. Feel this path with your whole being. You are the path. You are one with the creative power that is activating this path. The frequency barrier and its effect on timeline activation. As we've discussed in other episodes, there is a negative psychic field within the Earth that has been held in place by the frequency fence that surrounds the planet, or at least was during the quarantine. Some of the core material indicates this quarantine has been lifted, or a sort of time lateral, and this barrier makes it difficult for many souls to function psychically and telepathically. Seems to sap much of the strength and power that is directed by souls with the intention of influencing a dominant timeline. In addition, there's a concentrated effort by so-called negative or dark forces to interfere with accomplishments of light workers on Earth. For instance, shutting down Facebook groups. Many teachers and healers have experienced difficulty in recent years performing their tasks and remaining in a clear state mentally and emotionally. While most of this is simply due to the fact there are more layers of negativity to heal, the old patterns and structures seem very solid at times and unwilling to yield to fresh new energies. Although the Earth is ascending rapidly in vibration and has been doing so for several decades, the rate of change often seems to be slowing down. Most prophets and seers continue to predict a more rapid rate of change, that which is actually taking place in the linear time frame. thought forms and beliefs are very powerful, and a lot of souls are attached to the current version of the dominant timeline, or at least parts of it seem pretty stable. This dedication to keeping things the way they are is failing, but does have the effect of slowing down the changes into the new earth. Frequently, seers and visionaries become discouraged when things don't happen, which we saw after 2012, within the time frames originally predicted, and they blame themselves for being overly optimistic or pessimistic or easily misled, depending on the type of prophecy that they were reading. Others are quick to say that a failed prophecy is a successful prophecy, if it is negative, meaning that because of the original prediction, the catastrophe was avoided, and that is why it did not happen the way it was supposed to happen. While these are seeming imbalances and are partly correct, the bigger issue is simply the fact that billions of souls believe strongly in the solid reality of the physical plane, along with its comfort, securities, and predictable behaviors, the Newtonian physics of this world. Often souls complain that it takes so long to heal certain negative mental and emotional patterns without realizing that they have been locked into these negative patterns for thousands of years. Now, in just 20 or 30 years, many of them are breaking free of the frequency barrier. If it takes a few extra years, are getting impatient. A lot of people get impatient with this stuff. They expect immediate change. As souls awaken, they begin to remember worlds where they were able to command the elements, communicate telepathically, and ensure a life of leisure and prosperity for themselves and their families. And then they look at the earth with its seemingly endless war and poverty and misery and suffering, and they feel like failures for not being able to neatly, instantly put a stop to this. Some countries on earth must experience what appears to be dire failure before they can reemerge in a new light. This is the meaning of the phoenix rising from the ashes. The economic and political systems on earth are almost 180 degrees opposite of enlightened patterns. In other worlds, they're designed to suppress truly revolutionary ideas and reward those who embrace the old school attitude of domination and control. It is simply not possible to create a smooth transition from an unenlightened dog-eat-dog world of capitalism or service-to-self or communism to an enlightened system that brings prosperity and illumination to all human beings. Even the Titanic did not sink immediately. Huge empires such as the United States are crumbling slowly at first and then picking up speed as the Earth's frequencies increase. This is necessary since the country has been in such extreme states of imbalance that tearing things down and starting over is probably the fastest path to enlightenment. It matters not what political party you support in the old structure. As one social scientist once stated, changing political parties is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The focus of this episode is to point out that when large numbers of human beings become attached to the status quo, the changes must start slowly and then accelerate over a period of decades. You are now in the period of acceleration. At first, it might seem that you still cannot influence the dominant timeline all that much. In some ways, that may be true. However, do not become fooled by appearances. You are far more powerful than you realize. Your presence on this earth, especially people listening to this podcast, which are mostly star seeds and higher dimensional beings, has already greatly altered the course of human affairs. You have already changed this planet. From a higher perspective, this is how it is meant to be. You are exactly where you need to be, doing exactly what you need to be doing right now. The more you reinforce the truth that you are a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and know that ultimately you are a master of time and space, the faster you will realize this truth in the world. Maybe it'll take 35 years, and you're on year 30. You'll eventually tip the balance in favor of your creative power. Some souls seem to need to hit bottom with total despair before things change dramatically. This is due to the ego and its resistance. The ego is used to feeling powerless and keeps projecting these feelings repeatedly as you attempt to change the dominant timeline. You can never actually be powerless. That is impossible, but your ego wants you to believe that you are powerless. Your belief in powerlessness is very strong and seems to block your attempts to activate your desired timeline. No matter how bleak things look, with the prospect of a third world war or global warming, irreparable damage to the environment, continued suffering and misery, remember, you are powerful beings and have the ability to bring about great changes. Many souls need to go through what seems to be hopeless circumstances, a dark night of the soul before emerging into a new light. So I want you to continue to visualize, affirm, and feel the reality you intend to create. Just know that no matter what appears before you, the creation of your new timeline is in process, unless it clearly violates the free will of other souls. Unless the new timeline is not what other souls want. Remember, when you're creating this new timeline, you're imagining for others. And Neville Goddard's rule is, you can only imagine for someone else what you would imagine or want for yourself. It's going to come back on you. If you're imagining any sort of revenge or terrible future for anyone else as a part of your new earth, it's not going to happen. It's going to affect you. So be willing to be wrong about certain things. I talk to a lot of people that are really stuck in their beliefs, and it's easy to do that when you start to study spiritually this information. It's all about the Arcturians or the Pleiadians or this particular thing or that thing. Be willing to be wrong. I am completely willing to admit that everything I've said on this podcast is wrong. I am only a student. Embrace new ideas and new ways of creating. You'll be given everything you need to succeed in activating your new timeline. It might not come in a form the ego recognizes. But remember, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, is as true now as it ever was. Examine the ways in which you are asking and receiving, and ask from the depths of your being and become still in order to receive the answers. Feel the answers. Don't listen exclusively to your mind. Move into the center of your being, into your heart. Be the powerful lighthouse that you already are. And remember that lighthouses are not built in safe places. I want to end this with a channeling I found from Sal Rochelle in his book, The Mystery of Time, in which he's channeling the founders, very similar to Ra in the Law of One material. Check out all of Sal Rochelle's books. Greetings, dear creators. We are the founders. This message will be brief and to the point. Never, ever believe for 1 second longer that you do not have the power and presence of God within you. Remember the statement of truth. With God, all things are possible. With you, all things are possible. As Lord Sananda pointed out several times, there is only one problem in all creation. Though it takes many forms, that problem is the belief in separation. Because your beliefs are so powerful, you can create unlike the original blueprint of creation. You can seem to cause separation to occur in this unified kingdom of God. That is how powerful you are. Yet even with the power of your beliefs, you cannot alter the changeless, eternal aspect of God. So while you put up shield after shield against the light of truth, that light continues to shine unabated, hardly aware that a part of itself is in rebellion against the larger part of itself. This is the greatest paradox of all. In truth, you cannot be separate, no matter how fervently you believe otherwise. This is your salvation. It is like the undo feature on a word processor, except we are talking about your life as a co-creator with God. This lower dimensional realm of Maya that you may seem to find yourselves in can be erased or undone. Like the sun, truth keeps shining no matter where your consciousness resides. Dark clouds, fog, rain, snow, etc. do not diminish the sun in any way. Experiencing the night only means the earth is facing away from the sun temporarily. Again, the nighttime in no way diminishes the sun. Your dark night of the soul that seems to keep you gripped in fear and doubt makes no difference at all to the eternal, unchanging love of God. Once you realize these truths, you reclaim your rightful place as a powerful child of the infinite. We, the founders, go with you as you awaken to the truth that all is one, all is complete, all is peace. We are the founders. Good day. So please take these messages to heart and know that you can activate an alternative timeline. And together, we can create the new Earth timeline. We can come together and imagine a future where we instantly create. We have unlimited resources. There is no need for money, no hunger, absolute abundance, beautiful, wonderful, harmonious environment, and all-encompassing love and the ability to create. I believe in this, and I see it, and I want you to believe in it too. I want you to know that you may not see the results of this in this lifetime, but I think it's possible. But if you continue to put your energy towards this, together, collaborating together in this new social memory complex that we are forming, some amazing things are going to happen. So a lot of this you already knew. Check out my meditation, Activating Vibrational Timelines in the New Earth. It is one of my favorite meditations, and that is a really good place for you to do some quantum jumps into vibrational timelines. Check that one out. That one's going to give you a meditative background for you to do this, but you can do it every day in all things. So together, let's create an amazing alternative timeline. Put your energy towards it and remember these lessons. I'd love to get your comments. What kind of timeline do you want to create? What timeline can I imagine for you? I promise you, I'm going to go through the comments, and if I see that you are wanting to create a timeline, I want to help you create it, and let's create one together. So for the next few moments, I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just go to your center, to your solar plexus in your heart, and I want you to feel the love within you, and I want you to see a future, a glorious future Earth that has all the love. And all the problems have been overcome. There's no more poverty, no more hunger. The environment has been taken care of. And so many wonderful opportunities and so many wonderful things. And I want you to sit and imagine these for just a few moments before we go. Thank you, and I can't wait to see you in this wonderful new timeline we have set up and activated for the future. Please put a like on this. Please comment. Let this algorithm advance this particular episode so other people can join us, so we can all do this together. Thank you so much. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to the Reality Revolution.